District 32, Business Radio. Insights and inspiration. District 32. By today's business leaders.
Hello again, this is Alan Cox from District 32, Business Radio. Today we're talking with Chris Wiles from Priority Management. So Chris, what have you got that you would like to chat about today?
I suppose it's a concern I have with a number of companies and the direction they often take with sales. They almost treat sales as an afterthought. And by that, I mean two different streams, if you like. One is that it's sort of the job you do when you have a little bit of time left over.
Or when you start to panic.
Or yes, or when the numbers start to fall away and you think, holy cow, I better get out there and start selling stuff. But the other element to it as an afterthought is that lost art of selling, the lost art of approaching people and talking to people. And we've become too reliant on social media and the electronic media. I understand and appreciate that that does fit beautifully in with some markets, but when you're talking about small business, a lot of the time we've really got to make sure that we go and talk to people either by the phone or face to face, and we don't do that.
No.
There was a famous study done back in the 70s about the effectiveness of communication by Dr. Albert Mehrabian.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that only 7% of the effective communication comes from the content, the words that we use. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, when we rely on text and email, that's what we're relying on. We're relying on that 7%, which doesn't have emotion, it doesn't have the feel, it doesn't have the grab, but also it doesn't have the interaction to be asking questions and developing more of a relationship. It's really one-way communication. And to be effective in selling, it must be two-way.
So one-way communication that could be is so easily misunderstood.
Misunderstood or so easily discarded, and we've all done it. We've all get our emails coming in and we look at it and we say, gee, okay, there's another one. And in the bin they go.
Are businesses now complacent about sales?
To a degree. I think a lot of businesses, especially when people are first starting, and I know I was one of these people, I got my website up and running and I thought, fantastic. And I sat back, kicked back, put the feet on the table and waited for the phone to ring, for the world to beat a pathway to my door.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. You know, there are, again, I always qualify this by saying it does suit some markets and some industries, some sectors, but we get complacent and we rely too much on the mighty god of electronic media. And as we've talked before, the best way is to get in front of people. You know, we have a rule at Priority Management that there's always got to be two methods of connecting with people. Yes, we send emails, but we always follow it up with either a phone call or a face-to-face meeting. If we have a phone call, we then follow it up with an email to confirm things. But there's always two modes of conversation that we have.
Well, that's where I reckon text comes in. Confirm the appointment.
Correct. They have their place, as you say, for confirmations, for obviously proposals. And look, we're just completing a contract with a major oil and gas company. We couldn't do that over the phone. That has to be done by exchange of emails, etc. And we're also starting to venture into, from a coaching and training point of view, with augmented reality and virtual reality. So we can actually be coaching people using holograms. It's a little way down the track at the moment, but it's something we have to consider because we're coaching all around the world and it's expensive to travel and it's time consuming to travel. So why not just use AR or VR and coach people from your desk?
Most people in business do is react rather than be proactive.
Absolutely. You know, we mentioned previously how people just use it as a fill-in, their sales program. But we also talk about the fact that we sit back and wait for emails or SMSs to come in about our business. What we should be doing is really going out and not just working on what's in front of us, but going out and having a plan. And I understand and appreciate it's very easy for small business to get at the coal face and just work and work and work. But we really do need to take control of our time when sales are involved. So, you know, it means setting aside some time. It can be a time every day or maybe a day or two in a week where we purely focus on sales. It is the thing that drives all of the business. It's line one on the profit and loss. And apart from profit and probably cash flow, they're the three things that keep businesses afloat. And yet we always treat it as, oh, I've got a bit of time, I'll make a couple of sales calls, or I'll send a couple of emails, or I'll send a campaign out. And it's just these days, we've fallen into the trap of thinking that's good enough. Well, I'm afraid it's not. We need to take control of all the information that's coming in. We get flooded with it. We need to sift through it, and we need to say, right, this is appropriate. I will follow this one up. I will follow this one up. But you still have to have that plan there where you build a strategy and go out and sell.
I didn't have a strategy for many years, and I suppose I'm a bit of a learning junkie. There was always something that this is going to be the answer, but it wasn't that was the answer. It was me having to do something.
Exactly right. Yeah, look, it's about us. You know, the old Goya principle, as I often say, which is, you know, get off your ass. You've got to go and see people, or you've got to pick the phone up. It's critical that you do that. But again, you must have that planned. And people just often will say, I'll just ring so-and-so because I haven't rung them in a few weeks. Look at your market. Look at the benefits that you provide to people. And this is another thing, Alan, that people do so wrong. They think only about the features of their business. People will only buy benefits. So go and look at the markets where you are providing the strongest, sometimes the unique benefits that no one else can provide. And that's where the markets that you should be working in.
Do you know why people only buy benefits?
Yeah, because a great deal of purchasing decisions are made emotionally. It's a well-known fact that we tend to purchase emotionally. However, when those purchases are challenged, we rationalize them. We go above the iceberg, above the waterline, and we start to justify them rationally. But we make a lot of emotional decisions. Now, benefits are emotional. It's where we can actually see the old, what's in it for me? And that really gets you in the core, and you think, okay, this is of benefit to me. This is an emotional attachment I now have with this product or service. So therefore, I'm likely to go and buy it.
When you say get you to the core, it actually links in with a deep emotional state.
Correct. You know, and look, that emotional state, depending on the situation, can be status, it can be fear, it can be love, it can be hate. It's the old one about the closing down sale, the fear of missing out. Yes. That's the, you know, there's certain rugs and carpet stores in Perth that have been closing down for the last 15 years.
Didn't they get busted for that?
Well, one would hope eventually. But at least they're dealing with the emotional and not the rational. But, yeah. There are, again, certain circumstances where it will be a rational, logical decision that we make. But people tend to only think that people just work in that sphere. They forget the emotional element that's so strong in decision making. A lot of the time we don't understand, as you say, reptilian brain, we don't understand or even appreciate the fact that we're going through the process, but something, you often hear people say, look, it just felt right. Or in my guts, I thought that was the right decision. You know, so, and when people are saying that, they're trying to express something that is visceral. It's way down in the gut. Mm. You know, I had a great feeling about it. Gut feel told me I should go that way. Yeah. And people still do that.
Yeah, and I think they need to tune into their gut feelings more.
Absolutely right, absolutely.
Chris, what do you mean by getting value in your goal setting?
Well, a lot of businesses, Alan, from day to day, do not even have goals or objectives for their business. Again, it's the old, I'm working flat out, but I'm not sure what direction I'm going in, but I know I must be successful because I'm very active. Well, the problem is they're measuring activity rather than achievement. To build a successful business, you've got to get away from that and actually measure achievement. The first stage of that is developing a set of SMART goals, the specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and timely. And you must have those in your business that you keep referring to. I have worked with a lot of industries, a lot of businesses where they have set wonderful goals and we've spent 2 or 3 days off-site developing them. They then set and forget. So they think, yep, there's another job done. There's another tick in the box. We can pay Chris and away we go. And it's all forgotten. You've got to keep coming back to those goals and measuring against them. When I talk about valuable measure, I see also a lot of businesses are measuring everything in the business within an inch of its life. you're better off to have a dashboard with only two or three important measures on there than a dashboard that looks like a Lamborghini out of the 70s with 18 dials on your dashboard. So just get the stuff that is going to tell you whether you're achieving your goals or not. And that's the simple way of doing it. Unfortunately, we get paralysis by analysis in a lot of the businesses, and they're measuring things that just do not, they're not relevant to the success of the business.
It also probably means that they're being busy, which makes them feel like they are achieving something.
Absolutely. You know, we have people that we, when we put people through our Outlook program and they say, did you have a good day today? And they say, oh, it was a great day. I answered 150 emails. Well, what did you achieve? Well, I answered 150 emails. Aren't you listening? No, that's an activity. What have you achieved towards the goals for the business in doing that? And that's the what we mean by keeping that focus. The other thing we do find too, that if you have very clear goals, and this is just as critical for small businesses, it gets you away from the distractions. If you have those clearly set and clearly in front of you all the time, we do get a lot of distractions that are thrown up. People who want to work with us, opportunities to go into joint ventures, et cetera, et cetera. If you look at your goals and put all of those distractions, measure them against your goals and see if it fits, then you may go a little bit further. If, however, it's just completely opposite to what you're planning for your business or had set out for your business, drop it straight away. Because the biggest issue we have in business is a lack of focus. That we get distracted by so many things, and what we need to do is focus on our business. You've almost got to be insular in the way you're looking at your business. And if you have those goals, it allows you to make very quick decisions about whether it's appropriate for you to push ahead with this or not. We get distracted also because of being human beings. We will go to things where we're comfortable doing them, where we enjoy doing them, but we will not necessarily be doing the right thing for the right reason at the right time. And that's the credo almost that you've got to look at when you're making decisions in your business. Is it the right thing for the right reason for the right time? Because otherwise, you're being incredibly active, but you're not really achieving anything for your business.
It's like the old little white mouse in the wheel.
Exactly, yeah. We're in the treadmill. Yeah. And look, I know that we've all done it. We've had maybe days or even weeks where we've come away at the end of the month and thought, gee, that was hectic. And you look back and you think, well, what have I invoiced? What meetings have I set up? How much new business am I bringing in? Nothing, but we've been flat out doing nothing. You've got to have the goal set. And remember, they've got to be SMART goals, the common acronym that's out there for goal setting. But you should always be measuring against those. And you can do it by quarter, by month, by week, by day, whatever is appropriate for your business. But you've got to keep working towards those goals. Those goals will also set your actions. Because if you've set them out right, you will have in your mindset a list of actions that I need to achieve those. Then when that distraction comes along, you look at it and think, that doesn't fit. So I'm going to get rid of that and I'm just going to focus on what I know is going to take me towards success.
And enables you to make good, quick decisions.
Absolutely. And look, I think the other thing is too that it almost ensures that you'll get more successful quickly and with less stress.
That I like the sound of.
Because you're focused.
You've been listening to District 32 Business Experts that educate and inspire. District 32 Business Radio Business Experts, 20 past the hour, every hour, Monday to Friday, on District 32, the power of connection.